Thank you very much. Yes, this petition is about the Guildhall, the building that we are now sitting in and enjoying our democratic rights. The Guildhall is a Grade II listed building and was built to celebrate the power and the history of the Royal Borough of Kingston-upon-Thames. It is our civic centre and the home of our democracy. It is easy to access from every corner of the borough due to its proximity to extensive public transport. Surely then, the Guildhall is something of a treasure. Not according to the Kingston Lib Dems, it seems. Under-occupied, uninviting, unsustainable, they say. We're told that the Guildhall site was under-occupied before the pandemic. But this refers to the whole site, not particularly the Guildhall, which is home to the History Centre, Registry Office, Anstey Bridge, the old courthouse, a popular wedding venue, the Coronation Stone, as well as the Council Chamber and offices. Where would these services go? We're told that it costs an eye-wateringly large amount of money to run. But when I asked for a breakdown in costs back in May, I was told that they were not available. It costs too much to run, but they don't know how much. We're told the Grade II listed Guildhall requires significant investment, but no survey has been published, only estimates. We're expected to believe that a developer could provide this investment and protect our heritage while surrounding it with towers. How successful has that approach been with the Grade II listed Gala Bingo Hall, which has been rotting for 7 years? Is the Guildhall uninviting? Maybe. Not providing enough chairs for the public gallery, for instance. It should be opened up to the public with concerts, meetings and ceremonies. The history, artworks, Coronation Stone should be heavily promoted instead of hidden away. But we can do this whilst it's under public ownership. Unsustainable. There seems to be no precise and costly plan on how council staff will operate, how council meetings will be held, and where other services like the Registry Office, History Centre and Anstey Bridge will go in this madcap scheme. The one council meeting held at the King's Centre in July cost over £10,000 for one meeting. With an average of 3 meetings a week, it would cost up to £1.5 million a year to do this. And that's just for council meetings. Almost every councillor who attended the council meeting at the King's Centre arrived by private car. What happened to the climate emergency, folks? Surely it's more sustainable to have council meetings held in buildings which are easy to reach by public transport and also where residents can easily attend. Not in according to Councillor Kerr, who told me, not all residents are able to travel easily into Kingston Town Centre. Really? Remember that the King's Centre Council meeting, not one Chessington resident attended. In this report, I was struck by no risk assessments, qualities impacts, health implications, or road network implications had been addressed. No robust business case has been provided. No intelligible plan on how heritage and our history can be valued, nurtured, and promoted. No assessment of residents' needs and the ease of accessing services. Selling the Guildhall, unsound, unjustifiable and undemocratic. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Hinton, for attending this evening to present your petition. Please, would you return to your seat? Thank you. The Council now has up to 30 minutes to debate the petition. The report has a recommendation that the petition and the response set out in the report are noted. Councillor Kerr, will you propose the recommendation?
I will, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Cobbett, will you second the recommendation?
Yes, thank you, Madam Mayor, I will.
Thank you, Councillor. Do you reserve the right to speak?
Reserve the right to speak later. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Would councillors who wish to speak please raise their hands? Councillor Kerr, would you like to speak, please?
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I would start by saying it's quite hard to debate a petition when we have already agreed to the request that was placed in this petition. We were asked if we would agree that this building is an asset of community value, and we did, and it has been listed as such. However, it's clear that a number of people who signed the petition are very worried about the state of the building and the future of the building, so I think that's worth addressing. I think it's worth setting some things straight, to be honest. This is a beautiful building, a 1930s building, built by the same architect who built Bentalls, both of them echoing Hampton Court Palace down the road. But this building is not in jeopardy. It's a Grade 2 listed building. It has legal protection, and what we are proposing does not in any way jeopardise the future of the building. It just changes, it opens the possibility to changing its usage. We believe that we do not have the resources to preserve this as it deserves to be preserved for future generations. And when you're a cash-strapped council, as we are, you have to make hard decisions. Do you prioritise buildings or do you prioritise people? So let's just look at the costs. Ms Hinton has said that we were not able to provide her with the cost of this building alone, and it took us a while to break it down between the three buildings. But last year, it cost £1.5 million to run this building. So not the whole complex, just this building. To give you some idea of the context of what that means in terms of things that we might otherwise spend money on, I was at a meeting earlier this week where we discussed free school meals and what it would cost to provide free school meals during all the holidays and all the half terms for all children in the borough who are eligible for free school meals, and that was about £500,000. So I think you have to think very hard at a time like this when our budgets are so tight about what you want to spend your money on. If we are going to make cuts, and as we face another budget round, we know we're going to have tough decisions to make, do we look at cutting care for the elderly or the support we give to people with disabilities or for children in care?
Can I request that we don't get any disturbance from the public gallery? Ask you to respect all members when they are speaking. Thank you. Councillor Kerr, please continue.
Thank you very much, Madam Mayor. Or do we cut the services that residents depend on? Would you propose that we close a library or that we reduce the frequency of bin collections? I would say that neither of those options, neither of those paths, are particularly palatable. So I think we have to keep an open mind to this. And that is all we have said. We have said that this site should be considered for regeneration. We have made no hard and fast decisions, and I make no apology for not rushing into decisions on this. It's a very significant decision about a very significant landmark in the centre of the town. It's important to the borough. I think we should take our time. Better to do it slowly and do it right. But I would say that there could be another future for this building, and I myself think that if it were converted to a hotel, I think that it might be possible that residents would actually enjoy coming here for a drink or a coffee or a family meal or a wedding, and potentially they might enjoy that occasion more than they would enjoy full council. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Councillor Kerr. There are a number of members. I'm requesting once again the public do not disturb the meeting. Thank you. There are a number of members who wish to speak on this item, but we only have 30 minutes in which we can debate it. In order to ensure that all those who would like to speak have an opportunity to do so, please may I ask members, thank you. I now call upon Councillor Sumner to speak. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I'll be very brief. The councillor is right in the fact that it is a Grade 2 listed building, which is one of the reasons why everyone is so concerned. but I would like to refer to another point in the speech that the councillor had just made. She says, making no apology for rushing a decision on this. And yet, just a few months ago, the council was advertising for a senior officer with skills in negotiating the disposal of the Guildhall to a hotel chain. So if we're employing a council officer with those specialist skills, then to me, it appears that the other side have made that decision and have rushed into it. I also I'm quite shocked by the greenwash that's going on here about the sustainability of the building. If everyone just goes downstairs to the foyer, they will see the energy certificate for the Guildhall. Now, the average energy certificate for office buildings is D. The Guildhall's energy certificate is actually C, which isn't perfect, but is still classified as being quite good. So there are improvements that can be made to make it better, but it is no way as bad as the majority of other office buildings out there. I would also like to highlight that passing on the building to someone else won't get rid of any environmental impact of the building. It won't disappear, but what will happen if you convert it into a hotel, it will be occupied 24 hours a day by lots of people who all want air conditioning, all want heating, and that will increase the energy use of the building. And so I don't buy the argument that you're doing this because of the climate emergency. I actually think that's, I'm trying to think of a polite way of putting this, a smokescreen. I feel that this is just an excuse because officers and the leadership want to dispose of the Guildhall for their own reasons. And I feel that it's just underhand. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Sumner. Thank you, Councillor Sumner. Councillor Andreas Kirsch.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. We cherish the heritage of Kingston and the Guildhall building. We are looking, as the leader referred to, there has no decision been made. We're looking into repurposing the building and repurposing the whole site, making it even more accessible potentially in the end to many residents and to our communities, because it's not that much used by residents and communities at the moment. Preserving it for future generations as an iconic heritage building in our borough. All services and functions listed in the petition will either be placed somewhere else or could potentially stay, depending on the decision, depending what would be finally the repurposing if it happens. Other local authorities have very successfully repurposed civic buildings they possessed, other guild halls, courtrooms. They are now iconic buildings in respective boroughs and are widely cherished by their communities and used and have a new function in the life of their communities and citizens. So it can be done, it can have a positive effect. For decades, Kingston has relied on retail only. This complacency needs to change. Heritage has to take a center stage in how Kingston defines itself and how it is seen from the outside. Positive placemaking and active tourism could go hand in hand. Why not engaging and enhancing Guildhall for residents and being mindful of the costs of running and retrofitting it and investing instead in vital services for our residents? In the petition, the Coronation Stone has been mentioned. The Coronation Stone should be moved to the place where it belongs. Unfortunately, Reverend Wilkins already left to All Saints Church, the place where England began, where it originally stood. At the moment, we are working actively together with All Saints Church in order to make this happening. We're also working with All Saints Church together and other stakeholders for celebrating the 1,100th coronation of King Athelstan in 2025. Kingston has a rich heritage, the Anglo-Saxon heritage, the aviation industry. It is time that we are getting serious about promoting our heritage and bringing it to the forefront. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Kirsch. Councillor George.
I'm going to. I wasn't going to speak on this, but having looked through the petition, I think it's hard not to support what they're saying, really. There's talk of a proposed boutique hotel, and it's obviously Grade 2 listed, and it supposedly has protection because of this. And of course it does. However, what happens if a boutique hotel can't make it pay? What then? Perhaps someone will try and turn it to flats. That'd be very hard to do to make the internal changes because it's way too listed. So it may have protection at the moment, but if it can't be made to pay, it will end up boarded up and unused for 5 years, say. Will it still have that same protection? What if it's still closed after 10 years, 20 years? Is it still going to have that same protection? Planning applications in the past suggest maybe not. Now, the petition reads well, and it states that the Guildhall is not just a place for council meetings. And then it goes on to list multiple other excellent uses. But actually, council meetings are important. Well, they should be. Now, there's a good turnout tonight, and there's no reason why that shouldn't continue or even improve. This Lib Dem Council has gone out of its way over the last few years to keep residents away from meetings. The residents have put in the Lib Dems have put in as many obstacles as possible that give residents a proper say at meetings. You've cut the time residents can speak, stopping them from raising concerns during meetings, putting unnecessary obstacles in the way, meaning they have to pre-book to have anything to say. Quite ridiculous. Making petitions harder to submit. No wonder nobody turns up. You know, we could get a decent crowd in here. We could get people actually helping us make decisions. This, I'm afraid, is just another part of this, isn't it? Because what happens when we don't have places to meet? You don't know when people are going to turn up en masse. Are we just going to let them stand outside and pipe it out to them? That's no good. For proper democracy, we need somewhere that we can guarantee we can hold a big meeting where people can come and have their say. And quite frankly, this is just, you're just trying to shut the residents up. And, you know, on occasion, we've all been... had a few goes at people have had goes at us individually. But quite frankly, that is democracy. And this, to me, although it's important because it's historical and that's not to be diminished, it's important for its democratic use. And you're all getting rid of that, and it's quite disgraceful. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor George. May I request if anyone speaking with their masks on, could they speak into the mic so that it is clear, otherwise it is not clear. Thank you. Councillor Sam Folder, who is? Oh.
Sorry, I wasn't sure what was happening with the mic. I'm just going to speak very, very briefly. Which is just to say, Councillor Kirsch and Councillor Kerr have both referenced the financial stresses on our council we have at the moment. But that's not to mention the fact that we have this adult social care reform, which we need to implement over the next couple of years, which... Okay. Which we don't have... That's not to mention the adult social care reform that we have to implement over the next couple of years, for which we don't have we have no clear idea about how much funding we will get from central government to implement. There are a lot of pressures on our borough. We have to consider all options when we're looking at how we preserve our council's finances and preserve our council's heritage and our borough's heritage. So I think it would be wrong for us to take this off the table, particularly given the financial climate that we're in and the particular pressures that we're facing over the next couple of years.
Thank you, Councillor Fielder-Hughes. I've got Councillor Davis.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor Bamford, who we heard from this evening, I was also elected for the first time in 1998. Although for my own sanity, I took 8 years out in between and came back a different person. In 1998, for those who don't remember, John Prescott was in charge of pretty much everything in government that didn't relate to Gordon Brown, and including local government. And that time was when he called Kingston a leafy borough and was insistent that he was never going to send us any money. And every year since 1998, we're told that the council budget's under pressure, and we're still here, and the world hasn't collapsed around us. And so I think the argument that this is all budgetary is kind of not helpful in terms of putting a case, because quite a lot of this that we're hearing about tonight, and quite a lot of the reason why over 1,300 people signed a petition, is a common theme which I think we're going to get this evening, which is about whether the people of this borough believe that the administration can be trusted or is at all transparent about the way it goes about its business. Now, on the first issue of trust, of course, it's not that long ago that the Lib Dem administration was trashing our heritage. I've been around long enough to remember when they tried to close the museum. I also remember in 2014, when the Conservative administration came in, at that time they were trying to push the local history museum, because they were pushing it out of its current home. They were trying to shove it off into the darkness of Ham, up some side alley, and expected people to go out of their way to get there. It was only because we won that election in 2014 that we brought it into the Guildhall in the first place. Now, this is a fantastically beautiful building. There are so many things about it that are unique. And this is our building. It is the building of the Royal Borough of Kingston-upon-Thames. And yes, it does have failings. It's fair to say that over the years, probably 20 to 30 years, the council has not spent enough money maintaining this building. But that's our fault. And the reality is that we shouldn't be selling it off because of the decisions that many councils have made over many years, which have meant that we've ended up with a building that is no longer fit for purpose. The other issue is the way that we are going about this. And I think one of the big issues that faces, I think, this administration is the accusation from members of the public, and yet actually equally for me, because I've sat in meetings where we've been trying to take decisions and I've not been presented with enough facts to come to a conclusion. But there is a big issue about the way that the council transparently goes about its business. And in my view, this is incredibly important when it comes down to the ownership of your assets. They're not ours. They are ours insofar as we live here as councillors, but they do belong to everybody in this borough. And I don't believe for one minute that some crazy scheme where we're going to scatter bits of the council around the borough and we as councillors are going to go and hold some meeting, probably in the Barwell Business Estate, lovely though it is if you want to do business, but hold council meetings on the Barwell Business Estate is the right approach for Kingston. It's the wrong approach. And in fact, the administration needs to grasp the idea that we need to be more transparent, much more open, and actually have trust from the people that we're doing the right thing. In conclusion, I have already said to the administration, the chief executive, that were there to be a change in administration next May at the elections, we will not sell this Guildhall. It will not be sold, and any contract they negotiate must have a clause in it that allows us to
stop this
craziness. Actually, at the doors.
Thank you, Councillor Davis. Councillor McKinley.
Madam Mayor, I think tonight I, and I think others, can be agnostic on the question of the whether or not this is disposed of at some future date. But what this petition, where it states self-evidently that it's an asset of community value, I totally agree. But it allows me to canvass one thing which is troubling me. When I was on the council in 1978, this building was in good condition. Today, it is not. Now, I don't blame the existing tranche of Conservative or Liberal Democrat councillors. The neglect is over decades. I think that there is a need for some immediacy in renovating and ameliorating some of the worst neglects which have been going on this building. So that's putting aside the question of disposal or the future for other occasions. But the fabric of this building, both externally and internally, leaves an awful lot to be desired. There are door handles hanging off, simple things which is simple neglect. Now, I suspect that there isn't, as most councils would have, somebody who's called a housekeeper. But there needs to be somebody who is a custodian of this place, who, from the most junior to the most senior officer, has to get approval when the clutter of posters and notices is put up. There's no regard for the aesthetic value of the walls, and we would get a wall here, it seems you've got to have a picture on it. It wasn't designed by Aston Webb for that sort of function. It's a building of some great architectural value with its Art Deco Neo-Georgian style. And this generation of councillors should at least, from this evening, say we're going to arrest the rot. And that's what I want to plea here tonight, is clearly we're not going to make a decision about the future tonight of the building, other than the fact that it's within our capacity to say good housekeeping, sensible housekeeping, we will start again from now. Now, colleagues, the annexes, Guildhalls 1 and 2, there are no aesthetic or architectural value. Clearly, there are great opportunities for saving on office space with hot desking, with home working, with Zoom and all these other new technologies which I can't cope with, that the opportunities for downsizing our demand for office space is very real. And that should be being looked at with some urgency and immediacy. And I also put in a plea that the council should always bear in mind it needs a shop front and a place where they can have civic dignity. So the mayor's parlour, places for citizenship ceremonies, the committee meetings. So it might be the answer is retention of the Guildhall, it might be disposal. But there are other assets which we can look at. The County Hall 1899, first part of the building in Penryn Road. There's the Market House here, and Surbiton Council offices, which we still own. A wonderful piece of Victoriana in Newell Road, Surbiton. There are many things which we need to look at. But the immediate thing, and I would have hoped and thought we could agree upon this tonight in our tenor, is to stop the rot of the of this building. Just look at the furnishing and fittings. These chairs we're sitting on, total neglect over decades. So I ask colleagues to put aside the sterile debate about whether or not we should sell the place. Get it right first. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Councillor McKinley. Members, we will be almost getting over to the 30 minutes, so if you can be a bit more concise, I would be very grateful. Thank you. Councillor Jason Hughes.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. Councillor McKinley has mentioned housekeepers and how some councils used to have them in their civic buildings. So I would suggest that this administration listens to his sage words and gets their house in order rather than having a housekeeper. And by that I mean that they need to stop using the word heritage as though they actually understand the meaning of the word. This guild hall is woven in to what I consider to be, and a great many number of residents do as well, the civic pride that we have of living in the royal borough of Kingston-upon-Thames. Heritage assets such as the Guild Hall are not temporary overdrafts because the council can't balance its books, and I'm surprised that Councillor Kerr has not put the boot into the Conservative government as some sort of political overdraft for the inability of this administration to balance its books appropriately. But the Guild Hall is just not a piece of family heirloom to be flogged off because you are skint. What you do is you tighten your belt and you do not fall into the politically cynical trap of creating a false debate to say, if we don't sell the Guild Hall, if we don't flog off our assets, our heritage, and create this mystical and mercurial boutique hotel, then we'll cut adult social services. So what happens when you run out of guild halls to sell? What happens when you run out of assets to flog off? You will not have those in perpetuity. They do not grow on trees. So I support the absolute ethos of this motion because it exemplifies the fact that heritage must be retained, particularly when it's civic and particularly when it embodies the character of this borough. Now, Councillor Kirsch has said, well, pose the question no less, how will Kingston be seen from the outside? His direct words. Well, you wouldn't be able to see the Guildhall from the outside if you look at the plans that have been leaked and the designs that have been leaked. You wouldn't be able to see any of Kingston for all of the high-rise and the towers. So let's bear that in mind. Councillor Folder Hughes has said, basically, flog it off to serve or solve short-term problems. You don't do that. It's foolish local government. It is unbecoming of a council. It is unbecoming of a council that looks at its responsibility to this generation and generations who will come after us to protect our heritage. Thank you, Madam Mayor.
Thank you. Councillor Tommy.
Thanks, Madam Mayor. Councillor McKinley, you talk about needing the upkeep, but of course we do have some nice new curtains that shouldn't be forgotten. Where I'm at with this is, I think it's fantasy to think that opening as a hotel opens it up to people from the area. But I'm on side with thinking that we should consider it. I think I'm probably where most, maybe not in this room, but I think I'm where most people are across the borough, which is, let's see what we can get in. Let's see how much it's worth. But until we know that, no decision can be made. But it seems to me it's been decided already. We've seen architectural images, we've seen statements about a desired intent. It doesn't look like we're trying to stay here or that option is still on the table. And I think significantly, this is a part of the Transform Kingston project, and we need to know how much can come in before we make decisions on what we're gonna spend this saved money on elsewhere. We'll probably come back to that in a little bit. So costs are 1.5 million to run, but how much does it cost to run all these services elsewhere? And I guess I'll leave you with this. I rent two high street shops in Kingston Town Centre, and I would love to save all the money by not paying rent and not paying rates. But ultimately, I do need a physical site or my entity doesn't exist.
Thank you, Councillor Tolley. Councillor Cobbett, we're almost reaching the 30 minutes, so if you can be precise, I'll be grateful. Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I know it's slightly odd in a way to wear a mask through a meeting and then take it off to speak, but I am totally incomprehensible without it, which probably after I speak might be regarded by some people as their preference, but nonetheless, hearing me might be slightly preferable than 3 minutes of white noise. And also, I'm delighted to be asked to stand as following Councillor McKinley's comments, so I'm slightly worried to sit back down on the seat. But in all seriousness, though, I do thank the petitioners for their petition, because I do think it's an important part of our democracy, even if you don't necessarily agree with everything that people say. It's hard work going out and collecting signatures for a petition and coming and speaking at these public meetings, and I do respect that. And I also respect the challenge that's in the petition, because actually there's, in terms of the things that I think we would have to get right and we would have to be able to answer in order to make any decision about using this site differently in the future, I think the things in the petition are absolutely the things we would have to consider. We would have to consider safeguarding our heritage. We would have to think about open access to our history and where people would be able to view that. We would have to be able to look at sensible, accessible locations for council meetings. We would have to be able to look at hubs for staff to come in and work when they weren't working from home, where they could collaborate and do things together with their teams. We would have to absolutely think about a front door for the council, possibly several front doors in different parts of the borough, where you could get your queries answered and you could get things fixed or respond to consultations and so on. We absolutely would. And if we weren't able to answer all those questions, I'd end up not being in favour of doing it. The point is, I haven't myself made up my mind, and as an administration, we haven't made up our mind on this. We think because of the challenges that my colleagues have talked around, not just around finances, but around the sustainability of the building and around the money it would need to be well kept into the future, it is worth looking at different options. And I know a few speakers have said, well, you've set this out and you haven't been able to answer this question or that question. And I think the important thing to say about that is that we have quite deliberately decided to open this conversation up at the stage where it is genuinely early engagement and the decision hasn't been made. We could have chosen to say, well, we'd do lots of internal work to see whether this is viable. We won't tell anyone about it. Then we'll announce what we think later. We haven't done that. We've been very open and said, this is a possibility. We want to know what you think. And I absolutely respect as part of that that the people who signed this petition, that's part of what the community thinks, and I expect people feel very deeply about that, but that isn't necessarily what everyone in the community will think, and I want to have the conversation with everyone, even people that don't necessarily come to council meetings or sign petitions. I care about their opinion as well. There's nothing like audience participation, is there? We've missed that.
Can I request the public not to interrupt? Thank you.
So I think, it's the right challenge. It's the challenge that we'd have to meet in making the decision. But I'd say that if you don't look at it, if you say, well, now we should just stop and not consider it at all, realistically, that has consequences as well. And a lot of people have talked about upkeep of the building. We haven't, previous councils haven't put lots of money into the upkeep of this building because they're sort of morally deficient or that they don't care about buildings or heritage, but because they will have been faced with real choices between putting money into buildings, putting money into people and services. And I imagine they will have probably made the right decisions and the same ones that I would make. So I believe it's right to keep it on the table, but it's right to keep an open mind. And I look forward to continuing that debate.
Thank you, Councillor Cobbett. Councillor Kerr, would you like to sum up, please?
I'm mindful of the concerns about time, and I think that Councillor Cobbett has said almost everything that needs to be said. Just to kind of sum up some of the comments that have been made, I'm always somewhat astonished that the Green Councillor never seems to be terribly concerned about the environment, but perhaps that's just me. Councillor George, I don't think you should confuse democracy with architecture. And I think this building is very important, it's very significant as a civic building, but our democracy does not depend on a particular room, a particular piece of architecture. Councillor Davis, I was glad that you said yourself that you thought that it was no longer fit for purpose. Councillor Hughes, you talked about this being very short-sighted, you get a capital receipt and then that's a one-off. But that's not actually the point, and I think you may have misunderstood us, because One of the things we're saying is that the running costs of this building are higher than the alternative accommodation would be. And you can shake your head, but that's the reason, that's one of the reasons that we are looking at it. There's no other reason to even consider a difficult decision. We're not doing it out of mischief making. We're doing it because we think that it is a possibility that we need, as responsible councillors, to look at. Councillor Tollier said it's already been decided. No, it has not already been decided. All I'm saying is we note the petition, we note the fact that people are really concerned. It's helpful to us to hear that. But we want to keep an open mind. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Kerr. We will now move to a vote that the petition and the responses set out in the report are noted. Please vote by raising your hands clearly in the air. Those in favour? Apologies. The resolution is to note the petition. Agreed. Thank you. We need to take a vote on it, I'm advised. Please raise your hands if you're in favour. Yes, Councillor Sumner.
Thank you, Madam Mayor. I just wanted to be clear. You're asking us to vote to note the petition but not do anything about it. Is that clear?
It's to note the petition and the response in the report. I'm advised that the report sets out the council's position. So we are going to... All those in favour? I'm going to pass it on to Mr. Marson. Thank you.
Madam Mayor, the report before Council on the agenda tonight sets out the Council's petition and sets out the Council's position in respect of the petition and recommends that the petition be noted. Council is asked to vote in favour of noting the petition and noting the report.
Yes, Councillor Bass.
Madam Mayor, I just wondered for the benefit of, we've got quite a packed public gallery today and not everybody is aware of what happened with petitions. Could someone just explain what will happen with the... Oh, I thought you wanted me to talk louder. Sorry. Sorry, I forgot. I thought I was sitting at my desk in front of a computer, but I'm here. Anyway, so I just wondered if someone would explain, because we want to make these meetings more transparent and approachable. I think it might be quite useful if someone explains to the public what exactly will happen with this petition, because noting and procedures doesn't really mean a lot to people who are not so aware of it.
We have it debated on the petition, and this is a determination of the petition. Thank you. So now we're going to vote on the motion and recommendation set out in the agenda. All those in favour? I understand that this is a procedure carried out on every petition, so it's nothing different from what it is, I'm told. So we are just following the process that this council always followed. So there's nothing to laugh or jeer at the back. Because really, if there is... Mr. Giles, can I request that you do not interrupt? Thank you. Are there any members voting against? No abstentions. Any abstentions? Two. We have 28 for, 9 against, and 2 abstentions. Thank you very much. Thank you, councillors. I would ask whether the councillors would require a 5-minute break before we start the next petition. Would you all like a 5-minute break? Yes? Okay, thank you. We'll see you back in 5 minutes.